If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Melanie Niles. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that is also in the description. The Church dedicates the month of November to the holy souls in purgatory. It's a reminder to us that we have a duty before God to help the poor souls finish their purgation and transfer to the beatific vision. It is our obligation, it is one of the spiritual acts of charity, and when we do so, it pleases God. The Church is in three places: here on earth, the Church militant; in purgatory, the Church suffering; and in heaven, the Church triumphant. The people in all three places make up the Church and the body of Christ. And of course, the body of Christ prays for one another. The Church triumphant prays for the Church militant, and the Church militant prays for the Church suffering. But can the Church suffering, the souls in purgatory, pray for the Church militant, those of us who are still alive? Can we ask the poor souls in purgatory to pray for us, and would it do any good if we did? After all, they are called poor souls because they have nothing. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when we die, our works are measured up against our faults. If the good works outweighed our faults, we go straight to heaven. But if our faults outweigh our good works, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. This is the condition the holy souls in purgatory find themselves in. They are in debtor's prison, so to speak. The debt they owe for sin outweighed their assets. All they had was taken from them, and they must make reparation for what is left. They can't even pray for themselves. Because of their utter helplessness, St. Thomas Aquinas believed the souls in purgatory could not pray for us. However, St. Bellarmine, as well as many other doctors and saints, said that they can pray for us, even though they can't pray for themselves. St. Alphonsus Liguori wrote in his work, The Great Means of Salvation and Perfection, quote, "We should piously believe that God manifests our prayers to these holy souls in order that they may pray for us, and that so the charitable interchange of mutual prayer may be kept between them and us. If we desire the aid of their prayers, it is but fair that we should mind to aid them with our prayers and good works. I said it is fair, but I should have said it is a Christian duty, for charity obliges us to secure our neighbor when he requires our aid, and we can help him without grievous inconvenience." Yes, I agree, it would be most uncharitable and selfish to ask the poor souls for intercession without offering to aid them. Pray to a saint if you're going to do that. We should be offering our help to them strictly out of Christian charity without expecting anything in return. There is a parable in the Bible that seems to suggest that the souls in purgatory can aid us. The parable of the unjust steward in Luke 16, chapters 1 through 9, is about a corrupt steward who has to give an account of a stewardship. Knowing he will be fired, he proceeds to call those in his master's debt and reduces how much they owe. This act pleases the master. Many doctors of the church say this parable is about praying for the dead, canceling their debt. But notice his motivation is selfish. He's doing it so that when he gets put out of his stewardship, they will help him. And the moral of the story is, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal habitations. So it seems that a quid pro quo, I help you, you help me, with the holy souls is acceptable, even commendable and pleasing to God. St. Catherine of Bologna said, "Whenever I'm eager to obtain a certain grace, I appeal to those suffering souls to present my prayers to our common Father. And as a rule, I feel I owe the granting of the petition to their intercession. Do you then secure these holy souls, and God will hear your prayers and be your help." Many other saints, such as Teresa of Avila, testify to the intercessory power of the souls in purgatory. And there are many contemporary stories of the holy souls helping people with earthly concerns who help them. I found a Reddit-like thread from 2008 in which a person asked for stories from people who have received help from the Holy Souls for a website they were putting up. People gave their stories, and then I'm pretty sure I found the website. It had a lot of the same stories on it. I'll put a link in the description. These stories include winning court cases to avoid bankruptcy, miraculous healings, and the conversion of loved ones from people who offered up their merits to the Holy Souls in Purgatory and then asked for their intercession in these matters. Now, I personally don't have any stories of the Holy Souls helping me, but I also don't ask for their intercession much. I have, however, received confirmation that people I know who have died are in purgatory. I've given this story in another video, but I'll give it again here. A few years ago, I kept a list of people that I knew who had died so that I could pray and earn indulgences for them. I would pray a rosary for a different soul every day, and every Sunday I would earn one of them an indulgence. I would just go down the list. I did this for a couple of years, but slowly fell away from it. At one point, I decided I was going to take up the practice again, except I was going to revamp the list and take all non-family members off. One of the people who was on the list was a girl I went to high school with. She was very pretty. She came from a wealthy family. She was very popular in high school. After we graduated, she went off to college, as most of us did, and got into a prestigious sorority. She had everything going for her in life. Unfortunately, she fell into drugs, and during the summer break after our freshman year in college, her boyfriend at the time broke up with her, and she took her life in a very gruesome fashion. Her parents were getting divorced, and she went to her father's house, got a shotgun, went back to the main house, went into the sauna, and pulled the trigger. Now, her and I weren't exactly friends, we were more acquaintances, but I initially put her on the list nonetheless, and she would be one of the names taken off the list. The night before I was planning on doing this revamping of the list, I dreamed that this girl and I were in a car and she was driving. It was a very stormy night and we were just talking. Then she pulled over to let me out, and before I got out of the car, she said something to the effect of, "Don't take me off the list until I've had my turn. I've been waiting a long time for this, and it's my turn. I'm next. Please let me have my turn first before you revamp the list." Now, I hadn't looked at the list for months, and I had no idea who was next. The next day I woke up, looked at the list, and sure enough, she was next for both a rosary and a plenary indulgence. And of course, I did both for her before I revamped the list. I had this dream probably 4 or 5 years ago, so she had been dead for over 30 years. She was not Catholic, she was Episcopalian. She committed suicide and she was cremated, yet I believe that I got confirmation that she was in purgatory. Another confirmation is about my ex-wife, for the lack of a better term. Our marriage was annulled by the Catholic Church, who is now deceased. My oldest daughter told me once that she had a dream about her mother a year or so after she had died. In the dream, she asked her mother if she was in heaven. Her mother said no, but that she was not in hell either. She was at the door of heaven with many other people waiting to be let in, and that Jesus would not let her in yet, and it was making her mad. That's her mother, all right, and probably why he wouldn't let her in. My daughter asked me if I thought that meant that her mother was in purgatory, and I said yes. She wasn't Catholic. She was baptized later in life by her evangelical father, but she died of alcoholism shortly after entering her third marriage. Non-Catholics and or people who have lived bad lives and done bad things get saved. I'm a purgatory person. I'm a traditional Catholic, but I'm also a purgatory person. And purgatory people have a tendency to assume everyone gets saved but have to go through purgatory. Now, I realize that's not true, but I do believe more people get saved, even those outside the physical boundaries of the Catholic Church, especially other Christians, than I think most trads do. If someone I know dies, regardless of the situation, I make sure I'm in a state of grace, pray a chaplet of divine mercy for their salvation, and start earning them indulgences. And I know that if it turns out they're not saved or went straight to heaven, all that effort won't go to waste. God will use it for another who needs it. Helping the souls in purgatory is the easiest thing to do. The church gives a plethora of indulgences that we can give to the souls in purgatory for doing basic Catholic things like praying the rosary, crossing yourself, kissing your scapular, giving alms, using holy water, etc. Things we should be doing all the time. In the end, I think that the answer to the question, can we ask the souls in purgatory to pray for us and would it do any good, is yes. We can help the souls in purgatory with very little effort. Then we can ask them to pray for us. Until my next video, God bless.